24314, Middletown.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Would you give your name for the record?
Yes, Sergeant Elias Marks, MARTZ with the Middletown Police Department.
Thank you. A brief statement of your case, Sergeant?
Background investigation revealed that the appellant had no current criminal record due to being issued a pardon on September 1st of 2021. However, due to the nature and severity of the past actions of the appellant and the presence of a past protective order and past restraining order, the appellant was deemed not to be a suitable candidate for this deferment.
Thank you. Would you like to make a brief statement of your case, sir?
As far as like the protective order, I might I didn't understand. Like once I was approved my pardon, I thought everything, you know what I mean, was taken care of as far as the race. So I might have answered that wrong, you know what I mean? Just because I was under the impression that I could put that I had, you know what I mean, I didn't have anything.
Okay. Sergeant?
Having been issued a pardon, there was no criminal history for the appellant. But in our background investigation, we revealed numerous issues based upon public record. The background investigation revealed a protective order was issued on May 21st, 2019 and enforced for 73 days until August 2nd of 2019. And a restraining order was issued on May 4th, 2022 and was enforced for 251 days until January 1st of 2023. This order expired only approximately 4 months prior to the appellant applying for a pistol permit. This falls well within the 5-year time frame.
Sorry, sir, when did it expire?
January 1st of 2023, a period of 251 days. A check of in-house records showed two cases of concern. In 2016, case number 16-23899, in this case, the appellant was investigated for non-compliance with conditions of his lifetime registration on the sex offender registry. As part of this investigation, a sex offender registry unit investigative report was included. This document indicated that the appellant had been convicted of sexual assault first degree on March 9, 2000, which was defined as sexually violent under Connecticut General Statute 54-250, requiring a lifetime registration. The result of this investigation was that the court would not prosecute technical registry violations if the offender was currently back in compliance. This case was closed with no enforcement action. 2022, under case number 22000000592, in this case, the Special Investigations Unit received an investigative report from the Connecticut State Police Sex Offender Registry Unit, indicating that the appellant had failed to verify his address as required on February 4th. 2020 and on August 4th, 2020. However, as the appellant has subsequently been granted the pardon on September 1st of 2021 for the underlying offense of sexual assault first degree, the appellant was no longer on the registry and therefore the investigation was closed with no enforcement action. Based on this information and a review of the statute under Connecticut General Statutes 53A-70, parentheses A, a person is guilty of sexual assault in first degree under four possible conditions. When such person, one, compels another person to engage in sexual intercourse by the use of force, or two, engages in sexual intercourse with another person, such other person is under 13 years of age, or three, commits sexual assault in the second degree aided by two or more persons actually present, or the fourth condition, engages in sexual intercourse with another person, such other person is mentally incapacitated to the extent that such other person is unable to consent to such sexual intercourse. Due to the pardon, we were not able to obtain any information about the appellant's sexual assault conviction. However, the suitability concerns raised by the appellant having committed an act meeting any of the four listed circumstances was enough for a denial based on suitability. further check of public records, newspapers, which were included in the packet, showed the following. Appellant was arrested July 14th, 1995, for theft of a firearm, possession of a pistol without a permit, carrying a weapon in a motor vehicle, and possession of marijuana. Appellant was arrested on April 9th, 1998, possession of crack cocaine with intent to sell, possession of crack cocaine within 1,500 feet of a school. Appellant was arrested January 10th, 1999, for two counts of threatening, risk of injury, a minor, and assault third degree. Appellant, along with a conspirator, was arrested on May 25th, 1999 for two counts of burglary, second degree, and assault third degree. The appellant was arrested on August 12th, 1999 for failure to appear in court first degree, felony count, and failure to appear in court second degree. The appellant was arrested on February 12th, 2004 for possession of narcotics with intent to sell, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of narcotics with intent to sell within public housing. The appellant was arrested on March 10th, 2015 for creating a public disturbance. The appellant was arrested on April 4th, 2018 for breach of peace second degree. The appellant was arrested on June 12th, 2018 for violation of a protective order and disorderly conduct. The appellant was arrested on March 8th, 2019 for breach of peace second degree and threatening second degree. While the appellant showed no current criminal history, the appellant had a history of violent offenses, which included firearms, sexual assault, and drug dealing. Furthermore, the appellant showed a past lack of accountability by being arrested for failing to appear in court for felony charges and violating a protective order. Lastly, the appellant was the subject of both a protective and restraining order in 5 years prior to applying for the pistol permit, one of which was enforced 4 months prior to the application. Based on the above reasons, including the appellant's committing what was defined as a sexually violent crime, the appellant was found not to be a suitable candidate for a pistol permit.
Thank you. I would like to ask members of the board a question. Restraining order carried the same effect as a protective order? So if that was within, the restraining order in 2022 would be within 5 years?
Yes.
Is that an automatic denial?
No.
Okay.
It's not active. He should have.
It's a suitability.
He should have disclosed in his application, but there's.
But it's not.
Okay. Correct.
Would you like to ask the sergeant any questions?
Well, I mean, of course, that's my past. Obviously, as you can see, I had a troubled past growing up. Made a lot of mistakes.
This is the time you ask him questions.
Oh, it's a question. I'm sorry about that. Right now, I don't have any questions. You did what you had to do. So. No questions.
Questions from the board. No questions from the board.
Sure. Sarge, you've been with Middletown for a while. Any personal interactions with the appellant?
No.
No other questions from the board? Okay. Now it's your turn to tell your case.
So basically, about what he was saying, I had a troubled past. I admit that. I made a lot of bad decisions. Because basically growing up, I pretty much had to raise myself from day one. I had a mother and father, but they wasn't really present in my life. So I had to make a lot of choices. And a lot of them wasn't the right choices. So, I spent a lot of time trying to, change my ways, change my life. And as you can see, I did. I served my time, paid my debt to society, and moved forward with my life. As far as today, I'm a whole changed person. I have my own, I have two LLCs. I've been working with the cable company for the past 3.5 years. Actually, I have a girlfriend. I've been with her for quite a while now.
Is that your girlfriend with you?
Yeah, that's her. And pretty much, I'm definitely a changed person. That was when I was a teenager for the most part. And a totally different person, very responsible, and very respectful. And moving forward, like I said, I served my time for that, and I did it, and I paid my debt to society, and I'm just trying to move on in my life as far as just being the right candidate for all this stuff that I'm trying to do.
Sergeant, do you have any questions for the appellant?
Yes. Could you describe the circumstances under which the restraining order was taken out against you, that it was until 2023?
So basically, I was in another relationship at the time.
Sure.
Pretty much was with that female for about 10 years. Towards the end, I got her pregnant. So basically, you know what I mean, once she got pregnant, we started to develop a lot of issues with each other. Now, the whole time I was with her, we never had any domestic violence or none of that stuff. But as we were breaking up, sort of, and with the new child that was here, we were going back and forth, a lot of bickering and stuff, a lot of going back and forth with each other for petty reasons. I would go there, yeah, it was because I pretty much moved on and was happier in my life. So I would go pick up my daughter, and she would have her friends there trying to create a, you know what I mean, cause an argument with me or whatever the case may be. And it was always some tension there when I would go pick up my daughter. So that was the only situation with that. And pretty much, like I said, the police called me, I came, turned myself in. They didn't even put me in handcuffs or anything. It was a whole bunch of nonsense for the most part. I took care of that in the proper way, and I got past it for the most part. So pretty much was just a bitter breakup. And that's what that was about.
And that was
So Cynthia Vidal, woman for
enforcer.
Yes.
Okay. Was it a lengthy breakup? Because it was enforced for 251 days.
When you say lengthy, like
better part of a year.
Well, you got to figure like this. Every when it was time for me to get my child, I would have to go over there. So when we first broke up, there was a lot of tension over there. You know what I mean? So I even took it to court numerous times trying to fight for custody for my child, and I've been seeing my child every 2 weeks. I've been doing everything that I'm supposed to do. So I've been in my child. I'm seriously in my child's life, and I had to fight for that. And pretty much that's what happened with that.
Could you describe what happened when you were arrested for violation of a protective order, 2018?
So, was the protective order really? I don't know if that, the protective order, order of protection is when you go to the court and file it, right?
Restraining order is usually,
you get arrested.
At the request of the person, the protective order is issued by the court.
Yeah, so the,
this just lists that the arrest was for violation of a protective order in 2018.
I honestly.
Circumstances were that resulted in violation of.
So it would have had to been a time when I went over there to get my daughter, and like I said, she had her. She had like a house full of people, so I would go over there literally to get my child. She'll give me a hard time with it, knowing that it was my time to be with her or whatever. And she'll send people out to kind of make to confront me and stuff like that. So it was just a bad. It was like
so. Both the protective order and the restraining order were with the same person.
Yes.
Same person.
And I could even explain to you about a protective order. She even went down to the court. She went down to the court and made a protection order, knowing I didn't do anything. Because if I'd done anything, she would have just had me arrested. But she made a protective order because she knew that by law, she wasn't just supposed to move my child, you know what I mean, without us going to court about it first. So she was, I guess somebody gave her information that if you go down there and make a false claim or whatever on me with the courts, then she'll be able to move without me having to go to court and fighting her back and forth about it. So she did that. That was the last incident. She was able to move my kid all the way to Norwalk because of it. So that was that incident. But like I said, the whole time I was with her, we were together, everything was good. I never had any run-ins with the law or nothing when it came to dealing with her. So it was just pretty much a bitter breakup.
Okay. In 1995, when you were arrested for theft of firearm and possession of a pistol without a permit, can you describe what happened in that case?
So basically, again, that's when I was in the streets, you know what I mean, doing a lot of stuff I had no business doing. Pretty much coming back from New Britain, Connecticut, riding back with a guy that I met, I didn't know that guy for a long period of time. So as we're riding back, as I get off the Middletown exit, from what I can remember, the police gets behind us. I pull over and the gun was dropped on the floor. It wasn't on my side, didn't have my fingerprints on it or nothing. I just didn't say anything, you know what I mean? Because at the time, you already know how it was when it came to that type of stuff. It never was mine, never. I told him to check it for fingerprints, check it for DNA, and pretty much left it at that, but it wasn't mine. I was just a driver, unlicensed driver at that.
So. Unlicensed driver?
Yeah, unlicensed driver.
And it was also theft of a firearm. Was it a stolen firearm?
See, that part, like I said, it wasn't mine, so I didn't know the details of it. You know what I mean? I didn't know where it came from, whatever. I just know it was...
So you were driving in a vehicle with someone else.
Yes.
Who was in possession of possibly a stolen firearm.
Yes.
And put near you during the traffic stop. And you were also in possession of marijuana.
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever at any point sell drugs as a profession, did you ever sell drugs at any point?
In the past, I dibbled and dabbled with it, small, like, you know what I mean, like, here and there, just to get by and get stuff that I needed or whatever, because I didn't have any support at that time. So, yes, you're talking years ago, yes, I did deal with that stuff.
Did you ever carry a firearm when you were selling drugs?
No.
Do you understand the statute of 53A, 70A, sexual assault in the first degree? Are you familiar with the four components, one of which has to be met for that statute?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
What were the circumstances of your conviction for sex assault in the first degree?
So that, basically, one night, I was young, I was 18 going on 19, I believe. My friend, one of my associates at the time, he pretty much, it was this female, her name was Tiffany. I kind of knew her, but I didn't know her like that. I just knew that she was out around us, And, you know what I mean, at the time, I was young, so I was out there, you know what I mean, experimenting with life, doing what young teenagers do. And she was out there amongst all of us. So for the most part, back then, I would never like ask people for their ages and stuff, because I really wasn't the type to date way younger women or way older women at the time. So it was always like, we always felt like the women that were around us was of age. So pretty much, you know what I mean, had sexual encounters with her and not knowing her true age. So that's pretty much what happened with that. Come to find out later on, she was way younger than what we thought, you know what I mean? So that's when I ended up getting in trouble for it. And I admitted it from day one. I took full responsibility, and this is why I was able to get the pardon and stuff like that, because I've always been truthful about it, you know what I mean? So
the circumstance was that this person was under 13 years of age.
See,
and you were 18 at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I just turned 18. I just turned 18 for the most part. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
That's all the questions I have.
Questions from the board?
Just one. So you said a lot of these were in your youth, and
yes.
So there would appear to be, there was one in, what happened in Wallingford in 2019? That was a second-degree breach and a threatening second. You were 40 years old then?
Yes, that was when just basically just broken up with my girlfriend. She lived there. That was the incident I thought he was referring to. So I went there pretty much to pick up my daughter. It was a whole bunch of, she had a whole house full of people. And she pretty much, she had like a girlfriend or whatever the case, she sent the girlfriend out to get into a confrontation with me, knowing that, you know what I mean? What could possibly happen or whatever. So we got into a little argument about that, me going to get my child, and that's pretty much what that was. And yeah, that was just that. It was just, I always had an issue going to pick up my kid when it was time for me to get you.
So what's your relationship with the mother of your daughter?
Yes.
What's the relationship now?
Now we're very cordial. I get my child when I'm supposed to. Because basically she moved on finally. She has moved on. She doesn't worry about me anymore, thank God. So basically, yeah, I get my child now, no issues, everything's has been going good.
So the last issue with her appears to be
3 years ago?
Yeah, either 22 or 23. Because the protective order expired in January of 2023.
So that's when she went to the court, and this was the last incident with the order of protection. Now, mind you, if I've done anything to her, should have just called the police and had me arrested.
The last issue with her was either in 22 or 23, correct?
I believe so. Yes. Okay. And that was the order of protection, I believe.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And just. Sorry, as a follow-up, we don't have a copy of the application in our packet, and I think you referred to it, but the...
Yes, there was an issue...
Did the appellant disclose the protective order on his application? I think you referenced that he didn't, or I can't remember.
So all I referenced was that it was within 5 years.
Yep.
There was an issue where we lost the hard copy of that.
Okay.
Application.
Okay, I didn't know if he disclosed it or not.
Disclosed it or not.
Okay.
We weren't going to hold him to that.
Okay.
Based on that being our error.
Okay.
But given the time frame and the date of the application, it was within the 5 years, which we viewed as a suitability factor.
Yep. I was just wondering if he disclosed or not. And he applied in on.
May 17th, 2023.
Okay, so like 5 months. Did you disclose the protective order on the application? Do you recall?
See, at the time, I...
Sort of a yes or no question.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because of the pardon, I was...
Understood.
Yeah,
I understood. Thank you.
Other questions from the board? Do you have a witness who wants to testify today?
Yes, I have my. She's been here throughout the whole situation with my child's mom, so she could definitely. If you have any questions for her, she'll definitely.
Question is, do you have questions for her?
She's your witness, so you can ask. You know,
you can
either testify or bring out what's great about you.
You want to tell me anything?
I am Carrie. We've been together. Going on 9 years now, so you know I've been with him through this whole transition with his, you know, changing his life. You know, as far as when I met him, he was working legally doing construction, but since we've been together, he has started two businesses. You know, I help him. We, you know, run these businesses together. He's changed. He's a hardworking man. He's a good father, a provider. You know, we are engaged to be married. I fully trust him. I have no concerns about him. Unfortunately, you know, him and his child's mother did go through a very bitter breakup. You know, I think the fact that he had moved on and it just caused a lot of issues, a lot of, you know, problems for them with their child. But fortunately, his daughter is at the age now where he no longer has to really go through the mother. He's able to communicate with his daughter. And
how old is she now?
She's going to be 12.
In December 28th.
So, you know, he's able to communicate mainly through his daughter, only, you know, with the mother when they have to. When they do speak, it is cordial. Again, she's not here to say her side, but, you know, she did move his daughter to, she used these
tactics,
these things, she, you know, these restraining orders or to her benefit to, you know, move to first to Hamden and then to Norwalk. She was dating someone in New York, so her goal was to get as close to New York as she could without him having a problem with it. And they were going back and forth constantly in court because he didn't want his daughter to be that far away. He wanted to be part of her life. So, I mean, that was a really big issue. But unfortunately, now we're at a point where everybody kind of gets along and it's a very cordial co-parenting situation. So, you know, he did change his life greatly to the fact where he was granted a full and absolute pardon. So, you know, he's just continuing to try to move forward with these changes and, you know, do the right thing for himself and for his family.
Chief, do you want to ask the witness any questions?
I'm a sergeant.
I'm sorry, sergeant.
Got a promotion.
Congratulations.
No, I don't have any questions.
Questions from the board.
Do you have any reservations with the appellant having a firearm?
No.
Would you like to make a final statement of your case?
I think I pretty much, I hope I explained myself pretty clearly for you guys. Okay.
Sergeant?
So I don't want to rehash the information that's there. It's all in the packet, the public information that was available. I would just say that while we do try to make an allowance for people to change their lives, we do understand that things are reviewed by the Board of Pardons, and he was granted a pardon. The issues that were brought up in the investigation, the past firearms offense, drug dealing, sexual assault, conviction, these are things of a very severe nature, and I would argue that a very lengthy period of time would be needed to show that someone has changed. And while some, certainly a good deal of time has passed since these serious offenses, there were other minor offenses which definitely brought about the suitability concerns, especially when it comes to protective orders, the recentness of the protective order, the length of time, 251 days that the restraining order was in place, as well as a charge for violation of a protective order at one point. So those were all things that factored into our suitability decision.
Sure. This is a denial by Middletown. The base of the denial is for suitability. The base of the denial was the appellant had several protective orders. The most recent expired January of 2023. It was in effect for over 200 days. The appellant had another protective order in 2019. Through open source records, the Middletown Police Department articulated arrests. As note, the appellant has no criminal history. All of the appellant's convictions have been erased. He was granted a full and absolute pardon by the Board of Pardons and Paroles. But these were from newspaper articles, etc., starting in July of 1995 through March of 2019. Firearms violations, sale of narcotics, threatening, failure to appear, breach of peace, violation of protective order, the most recent being, I believe, March of 2019 for breach of peace and threatening. The appellant owns two LLCs, he's gainfully employed with a cable company, he had a significant other that testified in his favor. That's a summary.
Comments from the board?
Applaud your turning your life around. I think that's great. You've gotten a pardon, so legally, you know, the court system, hopefully you've seen the last of that. That's all to the good. The problem I see is that from publicly available information, not having to do with any convictions, but the conduct that you've exhibited over the years, the nature and the severity of some of those things makes it pretty tough to say that someone with a record like that is suitable to get a pistol permit, and that's the problem I'm having.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I definitely second that notion. Congratulations on the pardon.
Thank you.
And the growth. About what's being presented, I know a lot of that stuff was, just went back and looked through it before 2000.
Yes.
Then there was something in 2013, and then the tough breakup, which has caused some issues. Just being able to connect those dots makes it difficult to approve or vote in favor of, hey, let's issue a pistol permit at the same time.
I would just agree with this. I'd like to see a little bit more time pass. That's my feeling.
I suspect that's what a lot of us are thinking, a little more time.
But you can, you know, congratulate you. I think you've done a good job.
Time for a vote. Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority at this time. I do congratulate you.
Thank you.
Tough growing up years and difficult adolescence and early adulthood, and thank you for turning your life around and becoming a productive citizen.
Thank you, too.
Colonel Overturk.
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority at this time.
Detective Johnson.
Issuing authority at this time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And I echo same vote and same comments.
Thank you
for your time with us.
Good luck.